أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاقت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الإمام الرضا عليه الصلاة والسلام: حول الإمام محمد تقي الجواد عليه الصلاة والسلام، هذا المولود الذي لم يولد مولود أعظم بركة منه. صلاة. Going to talk about Imam Muhammad Taqi al-Jawad alayhi salatu wasalam tonight, because this coming Saturday is his date of Shahadat, and every Imam has huck on our neck, and it is important to remember the huck of every Imam. Our ninth Imam, Imam Al-Jawad alayhi salam, is the Imam that is the youngest one among all the Ahlul Bayt at the time of his Shahadat. His age was 25, youngest one after Hazrat Zahra salamullahi alayha. And he reached the mansab of imamat at the age of 8. That means when he was 8 years old, Imam Ridha alayhi salam became shaheed, and the mansab, the divine position of walayat and imamat and khilafat of Allah was assigned to him to be the commander-in-chief of the entire universe at the age of 8. And this Imam, his kunyat in our books of history is Abu Ja'far al-Thani. Abu Ja'far al-Awwal is the kunyat of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, and Abu Ja'far al-Thani is the kunyat of Imam Muhammad Taqi al-Jawad alayhi salam. And also he is commonly known by the alqab of Ibn al-Ridha and al-Jawad and al-Taqi and al-Murtada. These are the common alqab of the Imam in the history. After poisoning Imam Ridha alayhi salam, Mamun al-Rashid la'anatullahi alayh, he called on Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam and invited him from Medina to Baghdad. At that time he came to Baghdad, and that's where Mamun Rashid announced in front of the community in the Darbar, in front of his people, that he wants to marry his daughter Umm al-Fadl to Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam. And we find that in this age, in a very young age, Imam alayhi salam was he came to Baghdad, and that's where in the history we learn some of the greatest services and spreading of knowledge in Baghdad took place in the history. In just a matter of a very short time, in the matter of few days of his stay in Baghdad, Imam alayhi salam had taught 30,000 masail of Islam to the community. In a matter of few days of his stay in Baghdad, 30,000 masail about Islam. And we find that in the same gathering where Mamun Rashid had called him and announced about the aqd, about the marriage ceremony with his daughter Umm al-Fadl, in the same ceremony we find that this Darbari Mullah, this Mullah Darbari Yahya ibn Aksam, which was a constant tradition of all these almost all of these Banu Umayyah and Banu Abbas, and a constant tradition even today, we find so many of the Darbari Mullahs in different countries. So this is a constant tradition throughout the history. You can find the ulama who are salih, and you can find ulama who are talih and darbari. So this is the sunnat of tawaghit. Yahya ibn Aksam was the darbari person, mullah, and he was present in order to insult. Ihtimalan, the reason behind this plot, it was to insult Imam alayhi salam, because these people didn't have the ma'rifat of Ahlul Bayt, and they thought that they are more knowledgeable, and they were presenting questions in front of the Imam to prove their knowledge and to prove themselves to be afdal and superior than Ahlul Bayt in front of the people and in front of the ruler. So he posed this question in a very silly way, talking about that if a muhrim person who is in the niyat of ihram performs any hunting, hunts something, what is the ruling about that? So he thought he's posing a very scholarly and academic question, and Imam, who is a very young person, will be shocked and will be unable to answer, and that's how he can be insulted in front of the whole community, and he can prove his afdaliyat and superiority among all. So we find that Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam started to ask him that was this hunting taking place in the haram or outside the haram. Of course, you know, in Islam there are a whole bunch of details of Kitab al-Hajj. If you look at any book of fiqh and you look at the thickness of the chapters, and you find probably the most thickest and the most detailed of all the chapters in our Kitab al-Fiqh is Kitab al-Miras and Kitab al-Hajj. These are the thickest and most detailed chapters of the Ahkam, of the Sharia. So Hajj has huge minor details, so it's not an easy thing. You have to analyze everything from several aspects. So Imam is asking that was the hunting taking place in the Haram or outside the Haram? The person who hunted, was he an alim? That means alim bil hukum or jahil bil hukum. And what did he do it amdan? That means intentionally. Is the person who hunted, the hunter, a baligh person or a non-baligh person? Was this hunting taking place for the first time, or he did the hunting earlier as well? That means the first time of hunting, or he did earlier as well. And was the hunted animal one of the birds? That means, does the animal fall in the category of birds? And was the hunted animal a smaller animal or a bigger animal? And did the hunting take place in the night or in the day? Was the person who hunted a muhrim biniyat ihram al-hajj? Was he a muhrim with the, you know, for the sake of performing the hajj, or he was muhrim with the ihram of umrah? So all these shukuk, all these possible scenarios were mentioned by Imam al-Jawad, who is a young boy, young child, young person, in front of this old arrogant guy, Yahya ibn Aqsam, who thinks he is a very big shot. And he got so embarrassed in front of everybody that Mamun Rashid, and both of them became mabhoot and shocked, and they, Mamun asked Imam, okay, you please start the aqd, you please start the khutbah, the sermon of the aqd. And that's where Imam alayhi salam, he recited the aqd upon 500 dirhams. 500 dirhams is the mehr of sunnah, that's the mehr of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha. Unfortunately, nowadays we find, you know, such huge amounts of mehr raised by the people. And unfortunately, nowadays we find the mehr is decided by the parents, which is an un-Islamic behavior. In Islam, the mehr has to be decided by the girl, not by the parents. The practice today in so many families is that mehr is decided by the parents. Let the daughter, she is Rashida, you know, isn't that right? She is Balagha, let her decide on her own. That money belongs to her. If a person gives gift and hadiyah to your son, your daughter, this hadiyah, our Sharia says, it belongs to your son, your daughter. The father cannot use the hadiyah. If somebody gives $100 to your son, this money belongs to your son. You cannot use the $100 unless if you as a wali or qayyim of the child are using the same money for the salih, for the maslahat of the child. That's a different story. But you cannot use the $100 for your own personal reasons. Because hadiyah given to a child belongs to the child. He is the owner of the money. You are not the owner. You are the father and mother, but not the owner. So, mahar belongs to the daughter. Let the daughter decide. But we find the parents are deciding the mahar. Look at the ifrat and the tafreet. I have prepared a long list of ifrat and tafreet, the two extremes that are found in our societies, generally speaking, when it comes to izdivaj and marriage in Islam. How many ifrat and tafreet extremes that some people are practicing, and then you find there is no barakat. Then you find there are so many divorces. That's not the subject of my speech tonight, but there's a list that I have prepared about the ifrat. So one hand, you find the mehr is decided by the parents, and they raise it so high, and they make a matter of their ego. You know, my daughter is no less than his daughter. This guy put this much, you know, mehr, so why not I also raise my daughter's mehr? My daughter is not a lowly person. She is not faqir. She is not lowly. Well, this is not the price. Are you trying to fix the price of your daughter? $20,000 you think is the price of your daughter? Look at the way some people think. Imam Salih alayhi salam is stopping us. لا تغالوا بمهور النساء فتكتسبوا العداوة. Don't raise the mehr of the woman. You will earn enmity. But we don't listen to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, we follow our culture. So basically, on one hand, this is the practice that people raise it. On the other hand, the tafreet, you find some people never pay the mehr. Isn't that right? It was an outrageous amount. It was an amount which was not logical, amount which was not feasible, amount which was based on cultural egos and rituals, not a feasible amount. For this young boy, 25 years old, he started his job, he had so much of the loans on his neck, how can he pay $50,000? Then it's a non-practical amount. And he ends up not paying it. So look at the ifrat and tafreet. So the mehr of sunnah of Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam and of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam was the same, 500 dirhams. 500 dirhams means 50 dinars, 50 gold coins. That's nothing. That's very, very less. You know, you convert one dinar in those days, according to today's conversion rate, is 2.5 grams of pure silver. 2.5 grams of pure silver was equal to one dinar, which used to be of silver coins in those days. So 2.5 grams of pure silver, 500 dirhams equals to 1,250 grams of pure silver. So whatever is the current price of 1,250 grams of pure silver today, in today's market, should be the mehr. Which is a very small amount that everybody can afford, you know. When everybody can afford, then everybody can afford. So, because Imam Ali alayhi salam had said, "Inna Allah farada ala a'immatil adl an yuqaddiru anfusahum bi dha'afatin nas," because Allah made a fariza on the imams, the leaders of adl and justice, to maintain their life, to keep their, to have a life equal to the lowest of the people. In other words, so that's the job of every Imam, Imam al-Muslimin. Imam al-Muslimin must keep his lifestyle according to the lowest of the people. So Imam Ali's lifestyle was the lowest, was lower than the lowest people in the society. So when Imam Ali can pay 500 dirhams, in that time, everybody can pay 500 dirhams easily. So this is the mehr of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, 500 dirhams, he did the up. And then Imam alayhi salam started to explain all the shuquq, all those various scenarios of the question. And then he posed another question on Yahya ibn Aqsam, and of course for which he didn't have any answer. And again he became mabhut and shocked. So we find Imam alayhi salam asked him that, which is the woman that becomes haram four times and becomes halal four times. In other words, that means the woman was at the morning, then at the beginning of the day, then at the time of Dhuhr, then at the time of Asr. These are the four different times, then at the time of Maghrib, then at the time of the end of the night, then at the time of the beginning of the Fajr. Before the Fajr, before the Tulul Fajr, and then after the Tulul Fajr. These are the eight times. And of course he could not respond. He was totally shocked. Probably he heard this kind of scenarios of our fiqh in their first time in his life. Because these people never had the exposure to the knowledge of Ahlul Bayt. How can they have the exposure when they turn away from Babu Madinat al-Ilm, the gateway to the knowledge, which is Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam and the Ahlul Bayt. So then Imam explained the whole thing in detail, which, you know, in other words, in this scenario, it was, you know, if a woman was a slave of a kaniz, an ama, you know, and shen, of course a kaniz is haram. A person purchases her, she becomes halal. That's the second. So becomes haram, was haram, becomes halal, then becomes haram again, then becomes halal, then becomes haram again, then becomes halal for four times halal and four times haram. So Imam explains the scenario which is possible to happen, that, you know, a woman was an ama, a kaniz, and then she was purchased. So after purchasing, she becomes halal. Then she was set free itq, that makes her haram again on the person, then the person marries her after setting her free, so again she becomes halal, then he commits zihar, which is haram in Islam for a husband to do towards the wife, and because of the zihar the wife becomes haram, so he commits zihar and the wife is haram, then he pays the kafara of zihar, and then the wife again turns into halal, and then she divorces the wife, so after talaq the wife becomes haram again, and then she performs the ruju in the talaq, after the giving the talaq, and then she becomes halal. So when he explains the whole scenario, they again were shocked about the knowledge of the imam, although these are not the criteria for the endless knowledges of the imam, of our imams. These are very simple things for the imams, but these people were juhala. They don't know the ta'am al-fiqh. They don't have tasted the ilm al-fiqh at all. For them it was a big deal. For imam this is nothing. It's very, very simple thing. So, and second time Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam was called by Mu'tasim. When Ma'mun al-Rashid was gone, and his brother Mu'tasim billah la'anatullahi alayhi came into power, that was the second time when he forcibly, when he called the Imam alayhi salam, and that's where his darbari, mullah darbari of his time was Ibn Abi Dawood. That was what I was saying in the beginning of my speech. This was a constant tradition of Banu Umayyah. You don't find one or two people doing it. Constant tradition of Banu Umayyah and Banu Abbas to hire a darbari kind of mullah to give fatwas and support the Tahut. So this Ibn Abi Dawood was a very crooked person, and that's where he started to talk about the punishment, which in Islam there is a punishment for theft, and which you don't find. The punishment of theft in Islam has those 14 conditions before the fingers of a person can be cut, but those 14 conditions will never be talked about in the racist and prejudiced media, because they have an agenda against Islam. So the racist media will always talk about blasting against Islam and its punishment, but will never talking out of the context, and never talk about the entire panoramic view of Islamic punishments by mentioning the 14 conditions that need to be met. You will never hear those 14 conditions in the racist medias. So the discussion continued. Somebody in the darbar of Mu'tasim said the hand need to be cut from the elbow, and they started to do the istidlal and prove it through the ayat of Quran that talks about wudu. فَقْصِرُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ. So they started to do the istidlal. They thought they are very knowledgeable and gave this kind of silly opinion in Islam. In Islam there is no opinion for people, there is no room for people to give their opinions through their aql. This is what is called qiyas of Abu Hanifa. In the deen, in the shari'ata, إِذَا قِيسَتْ مَحِقَ الدِّينِ. If anybody starts doing chaos in the Sharia, the religion will be devastated. Nobody has been given the right to start giving opinion, because it seems to be like this, in my opinion. Who are you, and what is the reality of you seeming something seems to you to be like this? And this is the hukum of Allah. Let's learn from him what he says. Whatever seems to you has no value. But that's how the qiyas and istihsan of Abu Hanifa was considered to be the criteria of his fatwas in his time. So we find this Ibn Abi Dawood gave the fatwa in front of the Imam that the hand should be cut from the wrists. And that's where he was doing the tamassuk with the ayat of tayammum. فَتَيَمَّمُوا سَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا. And he said, that when you do the tayammum, we use the hand, and the whole palms of the hands are used. So hand for the theft crime need to be cut from the wrists. And Imam alayhi salam, when Mu'tasim asked the Imam, Imam said the hands should be cut from the fingers. That means the fingers need to be cut. Fingers. And he did the tamassuk with the ayat of Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about al-masajid lillah, you know. In other words, the places of sajda belong to... So in the light of this verse, we understand that places of sajda belong to Allah. So things that belong to Allah, we cannot cut. So again, this incident in the history, and the analysts of the history say it was very, very expensive. It turned out to be very difficult for Ibn Abi Dawood because he got insulted. And he could not even hide his hatred and his envy against the Imam and hasad against the Imam. And he expressed to Mu'tasim Billah that you are acting on his fatwa and people will end up considering him to be the Khalifa, not you. So his shikayat, his complaint against the Imam, some of the historians say that the complaint of Ibn Abi Dawood was one of the reasons why Mu'tasim poisoned the Imam. Because of the complaint of Ibn Abi Dawood. This is one of the reasons, according to some of the historians. So we find that Imams have been, his Imamat duration was 17 years. At the age 25, Imam becomes Shaheed. 25 years of age is the end of his life, in this world. But 17 years of Imamat, extreme hardships, and not only for him, but for his followers as well. Khaja Abu Salt, one of the great companions of Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam and Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, was jailed. And his place of ziyarat is there next to, close to the ziyarat of Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam in Mashhad. Usually when people go to the ziyarat of Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, they also visit Khaja Abu Salt. Is one of the ashab of Imam al-Ridha and Imam al-Taqi al-Jawad alayhi salam, a very nice person. So he says, I was jailed by Mamun al-Rashid. After killing Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, he jailed me. 1 year passed by, I was sitting in the jail in the chains. And in other words, my tawajjuh was towards the government and their people to set me free. One night I did my tawassul towards Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, towards Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, and prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the tawassul of Ahlul Bayt in that night. And I broke away my hope from everyone else other than Allah. And that's where I find, he says that I saw Imam al-Jawad al-Islam coming inside the prison. And when I saw him, I started to cry, and I complained to the Imam that you didn't come to help me. And Imam alayhi salam said, Abu Salt, when did you call me? Of course, this is the night that first time he called, he did the tawassul with Ahlul Bayt for the first time. He himself says in the narration. So he says that Imam grabbed my hand and he took me out of the prison and he said that these people are never going to find you again. In other words, so the laqab of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam is Babul Hawa'ij. He is the door towards the acceptance of the hajat of the people. If you have any hajat, which we all have the hajat, we should turn to Imam At-Taqi Al-Jawad alayhi salam for our hajat, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the du'as through the Imam. He is the Babul Hawa'ij. And the shahadat of the Imam is through his wife, the daughter of Mamun, Umm Al-Fazl. She is the one who poisoned the Imam. And after poisoning, became nadim, had nadamat and pashemani. And Imam alayhi salam said to her that now you are crying, that means now that you have killed me, you are crying. Soon, I swear to Allah, you are going to be subjected to a bala which will have no cure. And the same happened to Umm al-Fazl, that she used to beg on the streets. And she ended up having illness in her private part that had no cure in those days. So, an imam can never be buried by anybody else other than the imam. Just like Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam came out of miracle from Medina, Zahiran it was Wasiq Billah who prayed the janazah of Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam. But batinan, actually, in the real sense, in haqiqatan, it was Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam who came with tayyul ard, with mu'jiza, to do the ghusl and kafan, takfeen, and all the janaza and everything, and that tadfeen of Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam. Likewise, all these services for Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam were performed by Imam Ali al-Naqi alayhi salatu wassalam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa jil.
Some of the ahadith, like I always mention at the end, some of the ahadith of Imam al-Taqi alayhi salam, so that we can benefit from this nur of his teachings. He says that izzul mu'min غِنَاهُ عَنِ النَّاسِ. Izzat of a mu'min is to be ghani from the people, بِنِيَاز. Don't be in need, don't present yourself in a way that you are muhtaj towards the people. If you keep yourself away from, showing your ihtiyaj and expressing your ihtiyaj towards the people, and you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your needs, Allah will always take care of His awliya. So the hadith actually says that izzul mu'min ghinahu 'anil nas. The dignity of a mu'min is him not turning to the people and staying aloof from the people in his needs. In other words, also in the second hadith, Imam alayhi salam says that man inqata'a ila ghayrillah wakkalahu Allahu ilayhi. Whoever breaks away towards someone other than Allah or something other than Allah, Allah will turn this person into the control of that person or that thing. That means if you turn to someone else other than Allah, then you will be at His mercy. No longer, Allah will no longer be your caretaker. So this is the worst scenario that a person can face, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not ready to take care of us, because we ourselves are turning towards ghayrullah. And the dua that we read in Munajat Sha'baniyah, إِلَهِ هَبْلِي كَمَالَ الْإِنْقِطَاعِ إِلَيْكَ. Isn't that right? We are seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give me the perfect form of breaking away from everyone else other than you and everything else other than you, breaking away from all towards you. Perfect breaking away from everything and everyone towards you. It's such a great dua if we just pay to the attention to the meanings of this munajat. You know, when somebody asked Imam Khomeini Ridwanullah alayhi, the Ustaz al-Urafa, and the teacher of 350 plus mujtahideen, he's a muallim and murabbi and of 350 plus mujtahids, Ustaz al-Fuqaha, 350,000 faqih, So, somebody asked him, what is the most beloved, mahbub dua from Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam? And he said, the most beloved duas that in my, you know, ra'i is dua Kumail and Munajat al-Sha'baniyya. So, Munajat al-Sha'baniyya is really beautiful. Every dua is beautiful from Ahlul Bayt, but some of the duas have some special flavor. Some special flavor for the Arifin and the Zakirin and the Muqarrabin and Awliya. So, another hadith from Imam Al-Taqi alayhi salam, he says that Mujalasatul Ashrar Turisu Su'avvanne Bil Akhyar. And this is so true. We find, you know, sitting along with the bad people causes you to end up having su'udhan and bad thoughts about the good people. And you find in the communities, generally speaking, they were very nice people, very mutadayyan, praying, fasting, hajj, all those nice things. Although praying and fasting is never considered to be the miqyas and mizan in the hadith of Rasulullah to judge a person. لَا تَنْظُرُوا إِلَى طُولِ رُكُوعِ الرَّجُلِ وَسُجُودِهِ وَكَثْرَةِ صِيَامِهِ. Well, you know, so the Prophet has been stopping us from considering that. This is a wrong way of judging a tadayyun of the person. وَلَكِنْ أُنْظُرُوا إِلَىٰ صِدْقِ حَدِيثِهِ وَأَدَاءِ أَمَانَتِهِ. That's the real miqyas and mizan to judge the person, is whether he's sadiq, he's rasgu, he's telling the truth always or not. This is the criteria to judge the tadayyun of a person, not the prayers and fasting, which even a'da of Ahlul Bayt were also doing, but doing khiyanat towards the amanat of Allah. So, sidq al-hadith and ada al-amana, amanat dari, these are two things to judge. So, you find some of the, in the community, people who are nice, they pray, they fast, they do nice things, but they end up having a friendship with one bad guy, one fasid person, or mufsid person, and you find the whole personality, this guy is lost. He's no longer the same person. Because he has the sohbat and musahabat of one shar person. Amir Mumin alayhi salam had already said, Iyakum wa musahabat al ashrar. Keep away from the companionship of the evil people. Fa'innahum kannar. Because they are like fire. Mubasharatuha. Tuhriq. You get in touch with the fire and it will burn you. And that's the same as the scenario when you sit with a bad person, one time in your life. Remember the hadith of Ahlul Bayt, Imam Al-Taqi alayhi salam, it will have an impact on you. Mujalasatul Ashrar Turisu Su'avvanne Bil Akhyar. And also he says that بِئْسَ الزَّادْ إِلَى الْمَعَادِ الْعُدْوَانُ عَلَى الْعِبَادِ. The worst stuff that you can carry towards the Day of Judgment is ظُلْم, عُدْوَان, تَعَدِّي, تَجَاوُز, ظُلْم, in, you know, oppression, doing wrong towards the people. Anybody who has committed any violation of حُقُوقُ النَّاسِ, doing zulm on any other person, this is the worst luggage he's carrying with him towards the Day of Judgment. Bi'sa zad. So see, Imam Jawad al-Islam did not say Bi'sa zad you know, is that you miss on one of your al-fara'id al-infiradiyya for Islam, your personal duties. No, that's not the worst luggage. Personal duties, if I mess up, it's easy to be forgiven, because I did not harm you. I did not harm the Islamic Ummah. I harmed myself. It's easy to be forgiven. But if you mess up with al-fara'id al-siyasiyya wal-ijtima'iyya for Islam, you harm other people, that's where you need to remember that zulm on the other people is a social fariza of Islam, to abstain from this zulm and to perform justice towards others. And also he says that kam min aklatin mana'at akalat, how many foods are such that will block you from further abundance of the foods. Sometimes we end up eating one luqma of haram, you know, $1 of haram in our life, and this we think we are smart, we can make more money by selling haram things, by working haram jobs and supporting taghuts and zalimeen, we can make more money through that. That one food that we eat from this job, the haram job, is going to deprive me from so many further foods that I would have eaten, but now I'm mahroom. But I don't understand because I'm jahil. Kam min aklatin mana'at akalat. That's exactly what happens. It's nothing but fact. Also, Imam al-Taqi alayhi salam said, "Man hafiza min shi'atina 40 hadithan." Whoever among our followers memorizes 40 hadith. Again, my teacher was saying, it's not just memorizing like a parrot. Even a CD and audio cassette can also memorize it. That's not the point. Memorizing means understanding the contents and practicing 40 hadith in your life. If you understand and memorize and practice 40 hadith of Rasulullah in your life, that's enough for your success on the Day of Judgment. Because Imam al-Taqi alayhi salam has said, "Man hafaza min shi'atina 40 hadithan, ba'athahu Allahu azza wa jal yawm al-qiyamati aliman faqihan wa lam yu'azzibhu." Whoever from our followers memorizes 40 hadith, just like I explained to you, the real meaning of memorizing is to understand and to practice as well. Allah will resurrect him on the Day of Judgment as a knowledgeable person, alim, as a faqih, that means mutafaqqih fi ddeen, a faqih person, walam yu'azzibhu, and Allah will not punish him. So if you practice 40 hadith of Rasulullah, it's so easy. We can pick up 40 hadith and we can try to understand and try to practice 40 hadith in our life, any 40 hadith, because the hadith is mutlaq. It does not mention this hadith from this bar only. No, any 40 hadith. You pick up any 40 hadith and you understand and you practice, and that's enough for your success. Also one more hadith I would like to mention. Before I finish, is that he says that al-qasdu in Allah Ta'ala bil-qulub ablagh min it'ab al-jawarih bil-a'mal. That means intending Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala with your souls, with your hearts. You have the pure intention towards Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala in your heart. Ablagh will take you to the destination sooner from making yourself getting tired through your parts of the body performing different amal. That's how some people are doing. They are performing so much amal and ibadat zahiran with their body, but the qalb is not mutawajjih towards Allah. So if we have the qalb, if we have our heart, our soul getting connected with Allah, doing the real pure intention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the soul, and even if we do less of the ibadah with the pure intention towards Allah, pure connection of the qalb with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if the amal are less, that's okay. Remember the hadith when Hazrat Musa alayhi salam asked Allah, show me my, which I'm paraphrasing in my own words, show me my companion in the paradise. Which person will be my companion in the paradise? You know, when you are living in the whatever place, your house, your palace in the Jannat, who will be the person as your companion? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent wahi to Prophet Musa to go to such and such place and you will find that person. Prophet Musa went there in the same place and he found this Qassab. Can you imagine? A butcher is the companion of one of the Ulul Azm messengers of Allah, who is holding, you know, the arsh of Allah will be held by 10 people. The riwayat says 5 from the earlier generations and 5 from the later generations, and one of those 5 people who are holding the arsh of Allah is Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, Sahib al-Tawrah, Sahib al-Sharia, one of the Ulul Azm messengers, one of the greatest 5 messengers of Allah, and his companion in the paradise is a butcher. Isn't that shocking? Prophet Musa first watched him in his shop. He's cutting meat, he's selling meat to the people. Prophet Musa is watching him. He didn't see anything, you know, that can, cause some extraordinary good things, you know, extraordinary good things performed in that behavior. So he was still in the shock, still in the surprise, why is he my companion? So finally he was done with his business and he closed down the shop, and Prophet Musa asked him, can I go along with you to your house? In other words, he said, yeah. I'm paraphrasing the narration in my words. So he said, yes, why not? It's a pleasure to have the Prophet in my house. And Prophet Musa went to his house, and that's where he discovered that he had an old mother. Old mother sitting in his home, and she was disabled. This guy went there and he combed the hair of his mother and started to cook food. And he cooked the food, and then he was putting up the spoon and putting in the mouth of his mother. So he fed his mother with his hands and took care of all the needs of the mother in a very respectful way. So that's where Prophet Musa discovered that why he is going to be the companion in the paradise. Ihsan bil walidain. So we find that some people don't have a lot of huge list of a'mal, generally speaking, with their a'za and jawarih, with the parts and limbs of their body. But their qalb has good connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, al-qasdu ilallahi ta'ala bil-qulub ablagh, Imam Taqi alayhi salam says, in other words, that the niyat, intention in towards Allah from the souls, from the hearts, is going to take you sooner, in a better way, in a sooner way, in other words, towards Allah. It will take you to your destination in a better way, in other words, as compared to performing a'mal with your parts of the body, but the qalb is not connected. So the main theme is not to pile up a lot of good deeds, even if you do less, but you do well. That's the whole theme in Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have written down some of the ashab of Imam al-Taqi alayhi salam to talk about some of his ashab, but maybe inshallah some other time we can talk about his ashab. inshallah. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin.